Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a manufacturer of emergency food for starving children will resume operations. A Republican state senator is sued for defamation, and federal investigators look into last year's fire at the BioLab chemical plant in Conyers.
They should have known what kind of chemicals were in that plant. They inspect everything else. They inspect the schools. They inspect the churches. They put labels on everything else. Why didn't they make them accountable?
Today is Thursday, August 14th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The South Georgia manufacturer of a peanut-based emergency food for starving children is expecting new production orders from the U.S. State Department. GPB's Grant Blankenship explains.
Fitzgerald-based Manna Nutrition had a steady contract with the U.S. Agency for International Aid, which sent Manna's vitamin-fortified peanut paste to the most malnourished kids on the globe. But when DOGE cut USAID, Manna got cut too. A new contract from the diminished USAID kept people working but left 400,000 boxes of Manna stuck in the warehouse. Now, CEO Mark Moore says the backlog is shipping and Manna has bid on the State Department's request for 800,000 more boxes. Moore sees a silver lining.
The kids who are most critically in need are, it appears, being served by this administration.
Moore says some Manna recently made it to children in Gaza by airlift by a non-governmental charity. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Former state Senate candidate Democrat Ashwin Ramaswamy is suing Republican state Senator Sean Still for defamation. Ramaswamy claims during the 2024 election, Still and political consulting firm Landmark Communications knowingly made false statements that damaged his character. Ramaswamy says two mailers sent to voters in the district northeast of Alpharetta claimed that Ramaswamy was soliciting children for sex. Ramaswamy says he was seeking information about potential voters from schools through an open records request, which was denied. Ramaswamy is seeking damages. Senator Still did not reply to a request for comment. Landmark Communications declined to comment. Home prices in the Atlanta metro area have stayed about the same year over year. That's the conclusion of a report by First American Financial Corporation, which released its home price index report today. In the Atlanta, Sandy Springs, Alpharetta market, the home price index was down just 0.3%. Nationally, the home price index was up 1.5%. Mark Fleming, chief economist for First American, says limited affordability, economic uncertainty, and homeowners unwilling to give up low mortgage rates have brought national price appreciation, quote, back to reality. In the wake of actor Gene Hackman's death, Family Hospice and the Georgia chapter of the Alzheimer's Association are reminding people to regularly check in on loved ones living with dementia. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Hackman's dementia left him helpless and alone in his home after his wife, who was also his primary caregiver, unexpectedly died. Paige Powell is with Family Hospice. She says the actor's story underscores the importance of community awareness.
And so this is just a reminder of that, you know. If somebody's struggling or if somebody just needs a little bit of extra help, that we are checking in on our neighbors and our loved ones. So that's kind of the whole idea of the campaign.
Powell says the I Checked In campaign is about reducing isolation, building connections, and potentially saving lives. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
GE Appliances plans to shift production of refrigerators, gas ranges, and water heaters to states in the southern U.S., including Georgia. The effort to move production out of China and Mexico is part of a $3 billion investment. GE Appliances says it will relocate production of gas ranges from Mexico to a plant in the northwest Georgia city of Lafayette, while six refrigerator models now made in China will be manufactured at its Alabama plant. The first phase of the investment will begin at plants in Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. A new report suggests the time is right for Georgia to create a state office aimed at planning for the effects of climate change. GPB's Orlando Montoya has more.
The report was released this month by the University of Georgia's Institute for Resilient Infrastructure Systems and the Pew Trust. It echoes suggestions in a report prepared for state lawmakers last year after the devastating storms Debbie and Helene. It urges Georgia to improve its, quote, resilience. The words climate change hardly appear in the report. Eric Fossmeyer of the South Carolina Office of Resilience calls that phrase, quote, the elephant in the room.
The word climate change has been so politicized And we just encourage folks to approach it from an apolitical position.
He says severe weather affects people regardless of politics. A resilience office would coordinate efforts across state and local agencies to plan for disaster mitigation and recovery. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
Chancellor Sonny Perdue, head of the University System of Georgia, could be getting a $50,000 pay raise, bringing his salary to more than $572,000. The Board of Regents advanced the proposal Tuesday after a closed-door session. The raise must go through a 30-day waiting period before the board takes a final vote. Perdue, a former Georgia governor and U.S. Agriculture Secretary, was appointed chancellor in 2022. His salary is among the highest in state government, but still trails some counterparts in neighboring states. Last fall, a chemical fire at a pool supply company in Georgia sent a toxic cloud of smoke over Rockdale County, just east of Atlanta. Now, a federal investigation into that fire has validated years of warnings from employees and raises serious questions about whether that fire could have been prevented. GPB's Pamela Kirkland has been following the accident and its aftermath in the podcast Manufacturing Danger, The Biolab Story. She brings us this update.
Randy Garcia says sprinkler heads were always a problem when he worked at Biolab.
When I first saw the fire, I assumed it was the leaky sprinklers because it was a constant issue.
Garcia was the only on-site engineer at the Conyers Biolab facility for 2 years before a storage warehouse at the site caught fire in September 2024.
Rockdale County 911, how can I help you?
We got a sprinkler head bust at Biolab.
The company is one of the nation's largest producers of pool and spa chemicals. One of the buildings Garcia oversaw was that burned-down storage warehouse. He says it was packed with giant sacks of a water-reactive compound called trichloroisocyanuric acid, or TCCA.
I mean, when you're holding that much TCCA, it's very corrosive. And that was honestly the main reason why we were having so many issues with the sprinkler heads.
It's also a highly reactive chemical that can release chlorine gas and heat, enough to spark dangerous conditions. And so Garcia always wondered why the building relied on sprinklers at all.
I brought up questions about why do we have a water-based fire system over water-reactive chemicals.
Randy Garcia left Biolab 5 months before his fears came to pass. The massive cloud of toxic smoke would bring federal investigators from the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, or CSB, to Conyers. The cause of the fire is still unknown 10 months later. CSB investigators now say nearly 14 million pounds of water-reactive chemicals were inside, twice as much as what Biolab had told the county they would hold. While Biolab has declined multiple interview requests, Garcia reached out after hearing GPB's Manufacturing Danger podcast, wanting to share his firsthand experience.
You know, listening to different perspectives and listening to, you know, how different Conyers residents were, you know, still really fighting to get answers. It was just like, you know, I know what chemicals were in there. I was there working with them every day.
Residents like Gene Sadler.
They should have known what kind of chemicals were in that plant. They should have inspection. They inspect everything else. They inspect the schools. They inspect the churches. They put labels on everything else. Why didn't they make them accountable, especially when it had happened before?
Sadler has lived through 5 major chemical accidents at Biolab in Conyers over the past 20 years, 2004, 2015, 2016, 2020, and 2024. But Randy Garcia says there were more close calls. Employees called those events smokers, chemical reactions at the plant that didn't cause a fire but cause concern. GPB found one such incident on November 19, 2023, and obtained the 911 call.
Rockdale County 911, what is the location of your emergency?
So we're riding down I-20, and we went through a cloud of what appeared to be chlorine with a heavy chlorine smell.
It's like a chemical smell, real bad. I couldn't breathe, and it's burning my eyes.
Kevin, a former packaging engineer, worked off and on for Biolab for 5 years, beginning in 2013. He said frequent turnover and limited institutional knowledge made it hard for him and his coworkers to do their job safely.
obviously not everybody on the line making $8.50 an hour is going to have the intricate knowledge of chemicals.
A former safety manager at BioLab who asked not to be named told GPB they left the company months before the fire because of what they saw as constant inaction. They described corroded fire extinguishers and workers without proper protection. They said, quote, it was finance that ran that company, and if it didn't return benefits, they weren't going to invest in it. Randy Garcia agrees.
It always seemed like that was always the MO there. Is like, what can we do besides fully fixing the problem?
And it wasn't just the Conyers plant. After a 2020 fire at BioLab in Westlake, Louisiana, the Chemical Safety Board recommended they install sensors and automated monitoring systems.
Seeing that the same issue keep recurring happening to me is suggesting that there was no analysis of the accident. There was no corrective actions implemented.
Pamela Polley is a chemistry professor at Georgia Tech. She reviewed the initial and most recent CSB reports.
Of course, what is the most worrisome is the amount of chemical that they had, twice as much as what they filed for.
When TCCA and water mix, chlorine gas is released. Chlorine by itself is tightly regulated, but TCCA is not. That is a gap in oversight the CSB first raised concerns about more than 20 years ago. Since then, nothing has changed.
They kind of fell into the crack because OSHA does not require those management plan in the same way. And this is really the problem.
And while the CSB investigation continues, at the end of the day, that agency doesn't have any power to enforce any of its findings. In a written statement, BioLab says they, quote, disagree with many of the CSB statements. They did not clarify which parts of the report they dispute. The company says they have no plans to quit storing chemicals at their Conyers plant. Randy Garcia, the former BioLab engineer, has family not too far away. He says he's worried that, like too many other environmental disasters, BioLab will quietly fade from view.
You know, my fear is that, you know, this is going to be, again, one of those situations where at the end of the day, it's just black people suffering. You know, these are stories that, you know, they're not uncommon. You know, if this was predominantly white community, oh, I'm pretty sure it'll still be in the news right now.
Rockdale County is a majority black community. Residents like Gene Sadler say their calls for accountability haven't gotten the urgency they deserve.
All we were voices to a brick wall because nobody's is listening. And if they're listening, to who?
After five chemical accidents in 20 years, it's a question Sadler is tired of asking. For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland in Atlanta.
In sports, the Atlanta Braves beat the New York Mets last night 11-6, powered by a 9-run fourth inning. Nick Allen walked with the bases loaded to drive in a run. Jurickson Profar hit a bases-clearing triple, and Michael Harris II hit a grand slam to center field. Later in the game, Marcell Ozuna homered. This game tied for the Braves' third-largest win when trailing by six or more runs in the last 125 seasons. The Braves and Mets wrap up their three-game series tonight before heading to Cleveland to face the Guardians. The Braves return to Truist Park on Monday for a three-game series against the Chicago White Sox. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you come back tomorrow. The best way to remember to do that, of course, is to subscribe to this podcast. Then it happens automatically. We'll be there in your podcast feed tomorrow afternoon. If you've got some feedback for us, please let us know by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.